Hi, this is Arjen Nielsen of Elegas Cidery, based in Hilversum, the Netherlands, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Hey, apples, make them pop. Pop, 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 pop.
Hey, 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 my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world.
Hip, hip, hooray!
I am producing this episode while on the road, so it's one of those Cider Chat Live moments, which is a lot of fun for me. You know, I'm not sitting at a desk with a boom, you know, with my mic and all that, or a mixer. It's just a little handheld recorder, and we're going for it. And actually, we have been going for it. I left Massachusetts the day after a pretty major snowstorm. The folks to the east had what was called a blizzard. At least they said it was. Once you're on the road, you're kind of like in your own mindset. And I headed off myself and the Talking Palms in the little cider van, and it was doing great. About an hour into the travels, you know what it's like traveling in snowy weather, I realized that the windshield wipers were not working. And that's not a great thing when you're on the highway and all that schmutz is flying up on the windshield and you have to constantly be pressing the wiper washer fluid to clean the windshield and then the wiper blades. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe it. You know, they did put a new motor in the for the wipers, but I guess a little doohickey switch on the console wasn't like really working so great. Oh well. But finally, it did decide to work, and I was stoked for that. But the problem was there was no washer fluid, which kind of made it interesting. And, you know, a lot of times when you're going on a road trip, you're kind of driving nonstop. Well, for me, that didn't work. We kept on pulling over. When I say we, myself and the Talking Palms, and throwing a whole bunch of snowballs at the windshield. We'd find snow wherever we could. And then I could work the wiper blades and clear it off. But if you want to see what that looks like, there is, I think, about Instagram and TikTok, a little reel where you could see what the windshield looked like. It was not great. It was a little tense, and I think that the medlars are a little upset at me.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Oh, well, that's hopeful. You're not totally mad at me. You are having a good time, right?
If your idea of fun, Rhea, is not being able to see out the windshield, I suppose then we are having fun.
Oh boy, I have a feeling that you Palms are not going to let me live this one down, are you?
Nope.
All right, I know I deserve it, but you know, the van has been working just, you know, like a charm, except for the washer fluid, and it's not snowing anymore. It's clear skies. We'll wash the van. It'll be okay, and we'll get to Richmond.
Maybe we should move on, Rhea.
That's a great idea, Mr. Queens, because it's getting a little heated in here. Let's take a little pause, and then we'll be right back. The New York International Cider Competition is coming up this month of February 2022, and there's just a wee bit more time left for any commercial cider maker in the world to send your ciders to this competition. Right now, it is absolutely planned to be an in-person judging, but they do have backup plans, and as they say, COVID is not going to stop us. I love that, and it's led by Adam Levy, and he does these competitions all around the world, but the only cider competition is taking place in New York City. All you have to do is ship your samples to their warehouse. There is a link to this at nyicidercompetition.com. There's a couple cool things about this particular competition. One is that it is trade buyers, the people that you want to get your ciders in front of to know whether or not you are hitting it on the mark to sell it to consumers. In addition, it is a blind taste and there are no producers, no commercial cider makers are allowed to attend the competition. The media is invited to attend and observe the competition as well as interact with the trade buyers. So, maybe a little trip to New York City, eh, Cider Trent? Well, anyways, on the last episode, I was going through the winners in 2000 and what is it, 2021. And I was reading off the list of winners in the U.S. that I hadn't really heard about in different states. And one of those states was Iowa, right? That's kind of like kind of smack in the middle of the country, a little bit to the, I'm putting my arms up right now, to the west of Illinois, right, in that area of the U.S. And one of the producers was Fishback and Stevenson. You know, this is a producer I hadn't heard about before. And this is a cool thing because it gets folks who otherwise might not get showcased in New York City or Chicago or San Francisco or, shoot, you know, Berlin or wherever around the world, get their product in the spotlight. And wouldn't you know it, the folks at Fishback Stevenson heard me talking about it on Cider Chat last week and said, hey, we heard about it, and we're super stoked. We want to send you some cider. So in the meanwhile, that kind of got me kind of interested. Well, let's check out this little Iowa cidery. This is like what happens when you go into a competition. It gets media, like Cider Chat, interested to find out more.
Bravo!
Go to NYICiderCompetition.com. Coming into this episode, you heard from Arjen Mielsen of Illehas Cidery in the Netherlands. Now, the Netherlands is located across from England. It has Belgium to the south and Germany to the east. And only recently, really in the past, I'm going to say 10 years, cider has really started to take a hold there. I worked in the Netherlands from 2008 to 2018 and was over there quite frequently. And when I first started going over, there was really no cider to be had. There was one maker down in a little south of Amsterdam, in Arnhem, in that area. And now there's a book on the craft cider makers there, and it is growing and growing. And one thing I know about the Dutch, when they seize onto something, they do not let it go until it is perfected. And the cider that's coming out of there is really exciting. There's going to be a longer episode with Arjen. He sent me some ciders, but I did not have time to drink them before I headed out to CiderCon, and I wanted to give it a little bit of time, so we'll have to wait until I come back, and you'll be able to hear that episode then. But in the meanwhile, we have a bonus clip here, and he's going to be answering a specific question, so you'll hear that as we go along. And I think really this information is great whether you are a cider maker or anyone thinking about starting a business. It's kind of like laying out your platform before you go ahead. So let's all grab a glass and join this chat with Arjen Mielsen of Illehas Cidery in the Netherlands. Are there any tips for folks that you kind of like wish you knew then what you know now about starting a cidery? Anything that you've lessons learned for folks getting into this?
Yeah, how much space you need.
always.
Yeah. So, I would definitely go look at someone who is in different sizes of business to see how much mm-hmm. space they use and how they use it. And because for us, for example, if you have it in tanks, you have just, you need a little space. And then when you put it in bottles, you need a lot more space. Mm-hmm. Just the sheer size when we had our warehouse filled of how much we had that was previously in like compact in tanks. I was sort of blown away by the sheer volume that we needed. So that's an interesting one. And yeah, for us, an interesting balance was always to not grow faster than the market. So we doubled each year, actually. So we went from 400 liters to 2,000 to 7,000, 15,000, and now 30,000 liters. That was good because each year we could sell our entire stock. And then when we bottled a new year, we could just you know, start with a start fresh. Mm-hmm. We almost sold out the year before, cider from the year before. So that was very encouraging. And if you grow faster than twice the, then there's so many things that can surprise you. You know, that's because, for example, the volume issue of how much space you need. I mean, but now we're. I've been calculating about last year. I have an Excel sheet where I put for each liter of cider what my expenses are for the sort of direct costs. And I also have the indirect cost of the business for a month and for the year. And then after the year, you have to check, of course, if your predictions are right. And I was happy to see that my calculations were correct, that our expenses were lower than I anticipated. But still, I felt some cash flow issues at the end of the year. But that was only because our sales were not as high as I anticipated. So then you can get a bit stressed because you don't have as much cash and we're actually a bit short on cash at some point. And then you can stress like, wow, my business is not working. But then a bit later when you look back and you calculate everything and you see that, no, it's all right. All the costs are good, but you didn't sell as much and it's still in your storage in the warehouse. Mm-hmm. You need to sell more and then you're fine again, you know? So I think the cash flow issue is for when you make cider in the way that we do, like one yearly production cycle, the wine style. The cash flow is really an issue because you invest in the beginning of the year in the bottles and the labels and the crown caps and in labor as well. And then you have a whole year to earn it back. And that's all that money is now in the warehouse it's just waiting to be sold. Mm-hmm. So that's quite an issue that we will try to tackle this year by preserving tanks, cider in the tanks a bit longer so that we bottle in two phases, actually. And then you need to be sure that the cider in the tanks is stable so that your temperature is correct and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Talking about the economics, it's also labor versus machines. So far, we've relied mostly on manual labor because that's not a big investment in the beginning. And we thought we had time. But now we're running out of time. We're three of us now, and still we work the whole year round. We have a lot to do. So either we need more people or we invest in machines. And now I calculated that we can work half as many days and produce twice the volume if we have machines. Mm-hmm. And I can then buy a faster press, a faster bottling machine, mm-hmm. And pay it back in 3 years' time. So yeah, then at that point, of course, it makes sense to do that.
These are a lot of really great points to consider because I know Peter Mitchell really encourages people to just start with like a 10 by 10 space, which is a very small room.
Yeah.
That's smaller than what you started with. But but you also showed how you began with a small space and you had the luxury really, because like somebody like Reverend Nat, you know, he was urban cidery. So he didn't really have that luxury to put stuff outside, but you do have that land to be able to move your totes outside and your barrels. Which is probably a good idea to kind of plan ahead for that if you can. How can you use your landscape to integrate it into your production? And I also think that's a wonderful point about being disciplined. It really requires a certain discipline, one, not to drink all your cider, but also to have the discipline and foresight that you are sitting on the product, it will eventually sell. So that probably gives you then time to do the marketing, which is equally as time-consuming and, if not more important. So what's your approach to marketing your cider in a country that it's kind of new to? You have the tasting room, you have the events. Anything that you've thought about that you didn't realize, oh, this is really how to market it in the Netherlands?
Yeah, I think it starts for us with the we want to make the best cider that we can make, and making a good product sells itself. I mean, it's an old, maybe silly wisdom, but I think it's very true. People notice that now. So like past 2 years, I really noticed a breakthrough that people talk about the cider that we make, and then they tell each other. And I think that's the best marketing, you know, just word of mouth. And and that even happens in competitions, for example. So when you win a few awards, we've noticed that people from abroad will import your cider. In restaurant business or bars, people know each other as well, you know. So when you're talked about in the right scene, then different bars will also want to pour you. And another scene is the breweries. So we make collaborations with breweries. So for example, we made a cider beer hybrid with a known wild fermenting beer brewer here in the Netherlands, Nevel. And that put us on the map with many of their fans who are now also interested in what we make and being present in beer festivals and brew pubs. So for example, the bourbon stout barrels where we aged our cider in, we put them in kegs as well. And the brewery where we got the barrels from is serving our kegs in the tap room. And so it works in both ways. And it's expanding the circle of not only aiming at people who already love cider, mm-hmm. but people who love something adjacent, and then mm-hmm. Getting into those bubbles by being present, being visible, and mm-hmm. providing a good and surprising product.
Well said.
Well, I imagine that has wet your whistle for the full-length conversation with Arjun coming up. So do stay tuned for that. And if you haven't hit the subscribe or follow button, well, you might as well go ahead, because that's one great way to get notified of all episodes of Cider Chat when they go live weekly. And a little tip from me to you, if you are somebody who is in the trade of cider, I would kind of recommend sharing Cider Chat to the folks that you work with, or perhaps that you supervise, or your patrons, if you want people to learn about cider. And as he said, being present and being visible, well, let them learn about cider from all the magnificent guests who have been on this podcast for the past 6 years, now going into the seventh year. One way to share the wealth and the passion behind cider is by letting them know where to find out the info, because it is one whole wide, wide world out there just flooded with cider in the best way possible. And I think that Cider Chat is a great tool for people to be able to share at the worksite and with patrons that you serve. And with that, I leave you here. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
We like cider. We like palms. We love orchards and having fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider. We like palms. We like orchards. Having some fun.
There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Oh, yes, we do.
We
like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Ba-da-da-dum. We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!